Right side, Selyus. Right side, baseline pull-up. Blocked by Porter. Harden had tried to float it over Porter. That's another block chain block. Lob it, Porter, dunk. Caleb goes left side, Cody. Back to Caleb, top. Caleb fires a very deep three and hits from the moon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome inside ESPN Studios. What you heard there was cuts from the first win of the Nevada basketball season.
Yeah! We won! Woo! 1-0.
I'm Spencer Wilson, your host, Sean Cloud on the board, as usual. And tale of two halves, really, in that game. Not necessarily that they played a bad half in the first 20 minutes. I just feel like they played down to BYU. Not that BYU is a bad team, but they're not on the number 7th ranked team's level. That's right. For darn sure. So not that Nevada necessarily played a bad half. They just played a half down to BYU's level. And I was telling Ken before I came into the studio today, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room to know, because if you listen to our fellow show here on ESPN, NSN, then you would have heard some of Muss's interviews saying as how he was kind of disappointed with the result against Washington and San Francisco State in the exhibition game. He was disappointed with kind of the pacing and the way the guys were playing and handling kind of the emotion of it. And I feel like he had to, again, kind of get that point across to him in that at halftime. But it stuck. It stuck. It was a 34-34 tie, and they outscored him 52-36 in the second half. So there you go.
Yeah, we went off in that second half. It was awesome. And it was loud in there, too.
11,094 packed Lawler Event Center for the first game of the season.
Almost sold out. Because I think they can fit about 11,400. I think total. Either way, it was loud. It was just packed. Our Nevada Wolfpack fans came out, which was great.
Saw a picture, I think, of the student section that like took a Nevada flag and pulled it down like all the way through the student section. Samudio said it, and I agree. It looked like a top 10 atmosphere in there.
Right, and they just had the flags come down from the NCAA championship. So they had opening ceremonies. That was great. So yeah, it felt like a top tier team situation. You know, kind of atmosphere, like you said.
86-70 was the final score of that game. Jordan Caroline leading the way with 25 points. Then Caleb Martin followed with 21 points. Big difference was the shooting percentage between the two halves. 27% Nevada shot in the first half, up to 51% in the second half.
Right, and Caleb Martin didn't score anything in the first half either, so all of his points came in the second half. I believe his brother didn't score any. Caroline led it. We had big plays from Porter, Johnson, a name that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. I'm not even going to try because it's our hometown, so I'm not going to try to get that one wrong.
Don't embarrass anybody or ourselves trying to pronounce any names here from our home team. But great, like you mentioned, kind of an all-around team performance, which is kind of what we need to see from this team. In case that doesn't happen, you're going to rely on the Martin twins and Jordan Caroline to be the mainstays. But Nevada got 26 bench points off this game. That's great. If you can have that core starting group perform and take care of what they need to and have that support still off the bench, that's great.
Right.
That's just gonna make Coach Muss's life a little bit easier, knowing that he has a fair amount of support. I mean, what, four guys came off the bench? I think last year, what was it, only about two or three guys would come off the bench. So already we're seeing a little more of that depth that this team has over last year's team. I think eventually that's what's going to help this team be that deep runner in the tournament come March. Obviously a long ways away from that. We're only one game in November.
Well, the second game's tonight.
That is right, folks. And somehow there are still limited tickets available. Don't know how that's the case, but let's go. Let's just sell out Lawler. Might as well, folks. But that is true. They play the University of Pacific tonight here at home. If you can't get to the game, you can listen to it right here on ESPN Radio. Pregame will be at 6:30 and tip will be at 7 o'clock. I believe with Mr. John Ramey and Coach Len Stevens on the call. So don't miss that. Those two guys are a lot of fun to listen to.
A lot of fun.
We still have Coach Stevens calling our opener from last year. What was it, against the Cincinnati game?
I don't remember.
I think it was Cincinnati or Texas. It was one of the comeback wins they had, but it is just the, oh, just that is fantastic. I love that. I love that call. But, of course, the men's basketball team, not the only basketball team that kicked off. The women's team also kicked off their season. Not as fortunate in their opener. They were playing Utah, which is a Power 5 team. They came up a little short, 74-52. But tough team to open up with, obviously at home against a Power 5 conference team. And it's again, I think Coach Levens is still molding that team into what she wants it to be. And no reason to panic about this game. No reason to think this season is in any way in jeopardy at all after this game. I think they're still going to be A-OK when it comes to the long run of this season. Jade Redmond led the way with the women for the Women Wolfpack with 11 points. Trey Briggs was right behind her with 10 points. And so they will also have their next game tomorrow in Santa Clara. And again, you can catch that game on our sister station, 94.1 FM and 1450 AM. That, I believe, tip is at 4 p.m. in that game. So pregame would be at 3:40 on 94.1 FM. So that's kind of what's happening in the basketball realm of things. Let's get back to some other Nevada athletics that is going on. It's always important to keep the shout-outs going to the other teams. The rifle team held a Junior Olympic qualifying here in Reno last weekend, and they are now on their way to Columbus, Ohio for the Ohio State University tournament happening tomorrow. The tournament includes the PAC, hosts Ohio State, Murray State, and UTEP. They just can't seem to get away from UTEP.
Yeah, I feel like every week there's a UTEP.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
The rifle team is just constantly playing UTEP somehow. But anyway, the PAC men's tennis team had to rebound off an 0-2 first day at the Oracle ITA National Championships, and they did rebound, having a 2-0 day on day two. The PAC now heading to Loyola Marymount for their invitational before they have a short winter break. The women's tennis team wrapped up their fall schedule last weekend in Santa Clara, also had a good showing, and they will have a brief winter break before heading to San Diego in January. The PAC cross country team heading to Provo, Utah for the NCAA Mountain Region Championships that is happening today, I believe, for a chance to race for a national championship next weekend. And the Nevada volleyball team winding down their season. They have two games left on their schedule. The team unfortunately went 0-3 this past week, falling to New Mexico 3-1, San Jose State 3-1, and Air Force 3-2. And the last two games for the PAC, both on the road at San Diego State and at Fresno State. And then finally, the football team coming off a bye week. They will have senior night. It'll be the last home game of the year. It could be a possible bowl eligibility game if they win, getting to six wins. It's a very big night. There'd be a lot of emotion. Crazy to think that's, what, the second Saturday in November, and we already had the last home game on the schedule. That's crazy.
The season went by so fast this year.
It did.
It was like a blink of the eye.
Yeah, it was. It's been a lot of fun. Going to be fun to see where this game lands. We'll talk more about that after the break, because joining us on the phone in the next segment, head coach of Nevada football, Jay Norvell. So stick around for that. That'll be right after this here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Joining me on the phone now, head coach of the Nevada football team, Mr. Jay Norvell. Coach, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me today. Just curious, as you're getting to the end of your second year, have you noticed kind of a difference in your daily routine from year one to year two?
Not really. I've kind of been doing the same routine for a long time. I'm an early morning guy and got certain things that I do every day to get going in the morning and prepare for practice. But no, it's pretty much the same. The great thing about the fall is it doesn't change much. We know we're gonna play a game most every Saturday, and we have a weekly routine that gets us up to that. So this week's a little different because we have a bye, but the rest of the fall, I love it because it is the same all the time.
And one of the bigger differences from this year to last year is the quarterback situation. You guys kind of figuring that out last year, and now this year coming in with Ty Ganji, who even on one good leg can still throw for about 200 yards. What does it mean to you and to your game planning this season to have had your guy at quarterback since game one?
Well, Ty's done a great job. I mean, he basically won the job last year as well. So he's been our quarterback, for some time. We're proud of Ty's development. He's one of our three senior captains, him, Malik Reed, and Wes Farnsworth. Ty's done a great job giving us consistent play at the quarterback position, leading our offense. And he got dinged up in the Air Force game and wasn't available for Fresno. But came back, really battled against Boise, and done a great job leading our offense. And, we're really excited. We've got three games left. you know, we feel like we're starting to play, you know, really soundly in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. And we feel like we're getting better and improving in each one of those areas. And, you know, we got 70% of our rosters all new players. So every day when we go to practice, we get better. We improve.
And speaking about that defense, two really solid showings at Hawaii, where you just never know what can happen on the island, holding them to right around 20 points. And then the shutout against San Diego State in the second half last week. What has been the biggest change in this defense from last year to this year?
Well, I think we've been constantly improving it ever since the end of last season. We've made some changes. We felt like we needed to get bigger. I mean, it's been a constant improvement since last January. We started Eat the Win program. We felt like we needed to get bigger. We got in the weight room. We got sleds in the back. We've been hitting sleds every day. We just improved our physicality and our technique in every way. And then I'm really proud of our seniors. You know, Malik Reed, Corey Rush, Asani Rufus, Damian Babers. All those seniors have just really taken a lot of pride in what the defensive coaches have asked them to do. And, you know, really since the Air Force game, I think the Air Force game was a turning point for us. We played great defense that game against the triple option. We followed the plan. Guys did their job. They trusted each other. And we played well versus Fresno and Boise. And just kind of came together the last 2 weeks as a total team, offense, defense, and special teams. And had two really good wins. I was really proud this last week against San Diego State. You know, 2 years ago, San Diego State came in here and had two backs rush for over 200 yards apiece. And to me, they're the most physical team in the league. They have been over the last few years. And for us to stand up to them and really play physically against them and win a big game against them really shows a lot of progress in our football team.
I want to talk about mention the Aztec running game. You guys yourselves have had really a two-headed monster, sometimes a three-headed monster coming out of that backfield with Toa Taua, Kelton Moore, and Devontae Lee. What has having those three rushers done to your game planning to kind of help open up your offense even more this season?
Well, that was an area we really wanted to improve this past year. You know, we were the number one passing team in the Mountain West last year, but we really felt like the way we spread the field, that we could really add a physical downhill running game with our passing game, we could really be effective and really give people a hard time. And we're really starting to do that. Toa Taua's earned the right to be our starting running back. He's a really dynamic runner, got great cutting ability, and he's physical. Devontae Lee is just a little bit different kind of a guy. He's a little shorter, but he's about 230 pounds, really physical, really helps us in short yardage and goal line situations. And Kelton's kind of our really solid vet, just does everything really well, shown great leadership. And to have all three of those guys really allows them to stay fresh and allows us to pour, you know, a fresh back at the defense, which really is an advantage for us.
And speaking about staying fresh, you usually have two or three bye weeks throughout the college football season. You guys are going into a bye week this week around. Do you feel like having those multiple bye weeks more helps or hurts your team, or is there not really a difference with it?
Well, I really would prefer to have our bye week earlier in the season. You know, this is somewhat late. You know, this by this time of year, you kind of get into a groove with your team and practice and playing good. But we'll take it. You know, we're like every team. You know, we played a lot of tough football games and we're beat up and sore, and gives our kids a chance to get refreshed and really reboot, so to speak, for the last three games. You know, our coaches get a chance to get out recruiting. Our coaches have done a really good job of getting out and seeing players this fall, and we've got a great recruiting class. We want to finish that up with another fine month here before signing date in December. But it's a great time to kind of refocus ourselves and really get ready for the last three games. We got Senior Day coming up this next Friday. It's hard to believe it's already our last home game, but we want to send our seniors out with a bang and a big victory.
And speaking of senior night, that'll come up a week from this Saturday against Colorado State. A very emotional night for a lot of seniors. You talking about those senior captains on your team. How do you allow them to enjoy that night and be emotional with their family and friends and still keep them in that mindset to go out and play a team that you can't sleep on and still have to play hard against?
Well, no doubt. I mean, we talk every week about starting over as a team. It doesn't matter what a team's record is or what they've done in the past, what we've done in the past. You got to start over every Saturday, and we'll do that again this week. You know, I know our kids have sacrificed a lot. They've had a lot in their careers here. They're going to want to play well in the last game in Mackey. But we have a lot to accomplish. You know, we're playing for bowl eligibility. We got three games left. We have a chance to win eight games in the regular season, and a bowl game would be nine, and that would be amazing for this football team. And we just want to continue to improve and get better. Every week will be a challenge. It doesn't really matter what the records of these teams are. We got to go out and prepare and do the right things during the week to give ourselves a chance to win, and then we got to compete on Saturday with everything we have. So the formula for us doesn't change, but I know the senior group has wanted to be different, and none of them have accomplished those things in their career, and they have a chance to do it, and we're just excited about the opportunity.
Well, I know you guys are excited. We as fans and community are really excited. It's been a fun season so far, and we're looking forward to see how it all wraps up, but we have a good feeling about it, Coach.
Thanks, Spencer. I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. And, again, good luck, and hopefully we'll get you on again after the season ends and after a bowl victory.
Thank you. I got one more thing. 3-4-8 pack for everybody that wants to come out and watch our seniors in their last home game and support this football team. 3-4-8 pack.
There you go. And please do get out there and support these guys. This team has done a great job from year one to year two. And it would just mean, I mean, everything to this team and everything to the players for everyone to get out there and support them, especially on senior night. Thank you again, Coach, for taking some time to talk with us. And we'll look forward to the game against Colorado State.
Thanks, Spencer.
Big thank you there to Coach Jay Norvell for talking to us. And it is tricky because there's a lot of emotion that goes into senior night, especially when it's your last home game of the season and it's a chance to become bowl eligible for the first time in Jay Norvell's stay here at Nevada. And it's a lot of pressure. So I think they'll win the game. I don't think there's going to be any – I think it could be a tight contested game, but I don't think there's any reason to think Nevada is going to lose it. I have confidence that they're going to close out the season at home or their home schedule this season in style and do it well. The thing I'm most concerned about when you have this much emotion go into one game is how do you come off of that game? Because with Nevada, you know, assuming Nevada wins this game, that means they send out 17 seniors happy. There's 17 seniors on this team.
Wow.
So that means that they'll send 17 seniors out happy with a win on senior night and become bowl eligible. Then after that, you go right to on the road against San Jose State. Now, you might look at that and go, well, San Jose State, they're at the bottom of the conference, who cares? But when you come off an emotional victory like this, that's when you could coast, especially against a team like San Jose State where you think they're at the bottom of the conference and it's not going to be a big deal. You think you're just going to walk into their stadium and roll them. That's when you can get lulled into this false sense of security and you could lose a game. And a San Jose State loss would be a real icky way to kind of end the season, especially then having to kind of rebound and go on the road to play UNLV for the Cannon right after that. That it would be just a little tricky. So I have confidence they're not going to do that. Honestly, I think Nevada ends the season 8-4.
Yeah.
I think they can win tomorrow night against Colorado State. I think they can win both games on the road against San Jose State and UNLV. I think this team could be 8-4 going into bowl season, which would be an incredible improvement off of last year. And that shows you not only the amount of change that can occur from one season to the next, but also what it does for a program and for a system that feels confident in the pieces they have. Again, we talked about last year, the two or three different quarterbacks they used, figuring out what kind of style they wanted to be to operate in. This year, that's all been nailed down. They have Ganji. Ian, like you heard in the interview, one good leg, the guy still throws for 200 yards. They have an offense right now. They have a whole team right now that just really, really plays well. and it's going to be a fun end of the season. I'm excited.
I agree. I think they're going to win out the last three games at home against, you said, San Diego State, right? Or San Jose State.
San Jose State. They'll be on the road against San Jose State before they go to UNLV.
And then they have to win against UNLV.
Got to keep the cannon blue.
Exactly. So those last three games, I think they'll win them out. I think if you're right, the emotional aspect could get them to coast, but I don't think Jay Norvell will let that happen. So like I said, I think we'll get those last three. It'll be a great last, you know, ending of the season. Let's root for our pack this weekend, get that senior day. You know, it'll be a good day. Good day overall, I think.
And with three games to go, so if Nevada were to win out, they would be 6-2 in conference, because right now they are currently 3-2. Fresno State's currently 5-0. So if, and of course, big if, but stranger things have happened in the world of sports, if Nevada can win out and Fresno State loses out, Nevada could be in the Mountain West Championship game.
Wow.
So there you go. I mean, San Diego State is in between Fresno State and Nevada. But again, never know. Still alive, still a hope there. But it's going to be a fun way to end the season. And please, 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 folks, get out there. Support the Nevada football team on senior night. There's, like we said, 17 seniors on this team. So get out there, send them back happy and just full of support. And of course, don't forget that we have our final tailgate going on tomorrow in the north parking lot from 5:30 to 7:30. We'll have some local talent from Lotus Radio out there. We'll have blankets, shields, blankets, some nice cozy shields, blankets that you can take into the stadium.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be a little, it's a night game. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff, so you're going to want to bundle up a little bit. Nice thick shields blanket will keep you nice and warm. So be sure to pick one of those up if you're heading by the north parking lot with the tailgate. You can also get some free Porta Subs. We'll have some little Porta Sub sandwiches out there. You can also enter to win an assortment tray from Porta Subs. Yummy stuff. I was at the last tailgate that we had when we were playing San Diego State, and we had a lady come by, and she was just nuts about the assortment tray. So apparently it's some good stuff. We can't win it because we're employees. We can't enter it. I would if I could, but I can't. But you could enter to win an assortment tray. And you can also take your picture in the Shields Rolling Studio. That'll be there all lit up. So you can take a picture, have your face on the cover of a magazine. If you'd like to have that. I'm not telling you how to live your life, but it's an option. And you can also enter to win to be a qualifier for the tailgate with the pack coming up next year in 2019 if you go by and hang out at the tailgate. But if you're wondering, am I going to make it? Will it happen? Don't worry, because we're going to qualify somebody right now. Ain't that right, Sean?
Yeah. Someone out there has a chance to win a $25 gift card from Butcher Boy Meat Company and a chance and to be qualified to win the grand prize to the tailgate with the pack in 2019. The grand prize includes a 10x10 pop-up canopy, a barbecue grill, four folding chairs, a cooler, a cornhole game, two tailgate parking spots, and four game tickets for every Wolfpack home game in 2019.
Yeah, take a breath, man. It needs to be practiced. There's a lot of stuff there to get through. And, of course, you can always go to ESPN945.com for all the complete rules and details to find out if you have any questions that maybe no one's been able to answer for you. But I doubt that. Either way, caller 9 right now, 775-333-0945. You are qualified to enter to win the tailgate with the pack. That's right now. Caller 9. We'll be back with NFL talk on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. So we're all human. We all make mistakes. I was very I had a friendly call during the break, and the caller informed me that it is not actually Shields blankets. It's blankets from the outlets at Legends that is supplying those just gorgeous stadium blankets from the outlets at Legends. Sorry. We're all human. We all make mistakes. Congratulations to Justin from Sparks, who qualified to possibly tailgate with the pack in 2019. And just in case anybody out there that has qualified earlier today is listening, if you were told on accident, and it was an honest mistake, again, we're all human, to come in on Monday and pick up your gift card, it is Veterans Day on Monday. So the bottom half of our studio here will be closed, and that's where you would come in, obviously, to get your gift card. So do not come in Monday. If you won today, come in on Tuesday morning after 10 a.m. to pick up your $25 Butcher Boy Meat gift cards. So now that we've got those two corrections, let's all move on a little bit here, because you know who else is going to have to correct some stuff starting today? Everybody in Carolina. the entire Carolina Panthers organization has to fix some things. They got blown off the field last night, folks. We talked about this last week, that we were kind of hoping this would be kind of a break of the streak game, two kind of teams up towards the top of their conference that were going to do battle. 52-21. 52-21. Pittsburgh beat Carolina. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
No, it looks really bad, actually. Cam Newton, I think that's the big story, is just the way he was swarmed last night. Sacked five times for 46 yards. That was kind of the whole thought around the offense, really. Carolina kind of had three sporadically kind of good drives that put touchdowns on the board. Other than that, it was utter devastation on the part of Pittsburgh that just took Carolina to school.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, 22 for 25, 328 yards, five TDs.
Five TDs from Big Ben. So that brings the question to, because obviously James Conner went out with he's in concussion protocol right now. And the rumors floating around is that Le'Veon Bell is in Pittsburgh.
He spotted playing basketball. That's how we know he's in Pittsburgh.
So there you go.
We don't know if he's in there today.
The football player is spotted playing basketball in Pittsburgh. So
better than on a jet ski in Miami.
That's true. At least he's in the city. At least he's within the city. You can literally, if Mike Tomlin needed to, he could drive and see Le'Veon Bell. That's better than it has been. You're right. You're very right. Here's my question, though. Is it worth it at this point? You're just coming off a blowout win against Carolina, which could have been a lot closer of a game. You have a division that looked like you could have possibly Cincinnati challenge you, but they've now reverted back to their 50-50 self. You don't know what kind of Bengals team you're going to get. The whole shakeup on the Cleveland coaching staff has kind of left that team in limbo for the rest of the year, kind of just leaving it up to Baker Mayfield to put on some shows on the turf to at least make Cleveland fans happy. And Baltimore now, with Joe Flacco possibly dealing with the hip injury, are they going to have to put Lamar Jackson out there? What kind of changes will that make to their offense? So if I'm Pittsburgh right now, our running back situation's a little iffy, but that's it.
That's the only
thing.
We
have Ben Roethlisberger playing solid. We have solid wide receiver core right now, and our defense is playing well. So in that case, I don't think it's worth it. With all of the negative energy that's come off of Le'Veon Bell, you've had the points where his own teammates are criticizing the amount of money that he wants. You have all of this talk about whether or not he's going to be splitting it with James Conner, but now his injury, how does that work out? And now if he's injured, does Le'Veon even want that many carries? Or was he looking to split it with? I mean, I think him coming back creates more questions than it answers for him just staying away from the franchise for the rest of the year.
Well, I think he needs to look at that too. So does he want to come back and play? That's the big question. So if he does come back and play, then he has the potential of getting an injury, and then when he goes into free agency or whatever it is that he decides to do, then it goes into that matter. So he's better off honestly just taking the rest of the season off. That way he doesn't get injured, he goes into free agency, everyone's good. Now if he comes back, he starts playing, then Pittsburgh has to pay him the big amount of money, all this stuff. He could have made like $8 million by now. Whatever reason he chose to just sit there.
I think they said that he's lost out now officially on $9 million.
Right.
Is officially what he's lost. But how, I just thought about this, how perfect would it be karma-wise for him to cause all this drama around the Steelers organization to end up, let's say, not playing the rest of this year? And what if he injures himself in a pickup basketball game? Wouldn't that just be the icing on a whole different kind of cake? I mean, that would just be that. I mean, I don't even know. That would be the end all, be all of karma.
Like, as a player, you're not supposed to do anything that could injure you outside of the sport.
Yeah, and if you're
if you get injured outside of the sport, then like pay goes into all these things go into question. So yeah, that would be great karma.
And that's what his whole holdout's been over, the amount of money, where he wants the freedom that he wants to go change. So that would just be. I mean, at that point, pretty much all sympathy goes out the window. I mean, I'm holding a little bit back, obviously, just the way football is. You have a very limited amount of time if you're a position player to kind of get the prime of your years in. I can totally understand him wanting to be paid for the talent that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you injure yourself in a pickup basketball game while you're causing drama around a whole different organization that you have not even tried to help this year, see ya.
Right.
Have fun. I don't know. You should have stayed on a jet ski, man. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. It seems odd to me that he wants to take that kind of risk when he's not willing to risk being out there on the field and earning money playing the sport that he is. I mean, I guess he feels he's supposed to be playing unless he wants to transition into the NBA. Right. I don't know. So I don't think it's worth it for him to come back.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. Granted, he's on one of my fantasy teams, so I'd hope he'd come back, especially with James Conner with up in the air. We don't know what's going on with James Conner. All we know is if you watch the game after his first touchdown, he got pretty banged up. He was a little bit druzy after he got that head-to-head collision, so he was off the field for pretty much all of the second quarter. Didn't really do much. And then he came back in for a couple plays. He got a little bit tripped up, which you could see on Tomlinson's face and on his that he shouldn't have gotten tripped up and something else was going on. He went into the temp a few times and then towards the end of the game, going into the fourth quarter, I think, sent him back to the locker room, basically said, hey, you're done. We don't need you the rest of the night. Let's focus on your safety first. So he is in concussion protocol. So there's that. The other running backs in the Steelers, I just want to point this out really quick, aren't that great. They didn't do much. I mean, you know, you had James Conner, 13 carries for 65 yards. You have Stephen Ridley, 8 carries for 26 yards. That is nothing.
When Ben Roethlisberger is your second highest rusher of the game, that's a problem. That's not a good thing.
18 yards long. That was insane. I remember that.
I know. He had the second long. He had the longest run of the game among running backs. He had 18 yard was his longest run. That's the longest run of any rusher for Pittsburgh last night. Yeah, that's a problem.
Right. So if James Conner does not come back, right, and this is the week that Bell's supposed to come back, maybe it's just all supposed to fit into where James Conner goes out on injury for a couple weeks. Bell comes in for a few to see if he still has it. Because he hasn't played in a long time.
Yeah.
We don't know if the guy still has it.
It's true.
So maybe they bring him in for a couple games. Then Conner gets better. Then there's like this duel out. Who knows? Maybe they put it into a split backfield like Kamara and Ingram were last year.
I could almost see them using that as maybe as a little bit of a sweetener to Le'Veon. Like, hey, man, come back. Conner's out one game, maybe two. But when he comes back, we'll split time between you guys. We won't try to give you all the carries and injure you and overload you. We'll split up. It could be a sense where they use him coming back quicker and this not being as serious of an injury as a little bit of a sweetener, because honestly, that could be a fun one too. It could kind of be your Ingram Kamara one two of last year. Have your Le'Veon that you can kind of swing out wide and use him a little more versatile, and Connors is your kind of up the middle big rusher.
Right. The announcers last night, I forget who called the game, maybe it was Aikman and I forget the other guy. Either way, they were saying how Bell could be used more as a wide receiver if he comes back. I agree and I disagree. He is a great, you know, run and catch kind of guy. But then look, the new Switzer was amazing last night.
Yeah, he was.
He came out of nowhere. I mean, McDonald's doing good. So you don't really need that extra wide receiver out there. But you're right. I think using him as a double kind of back situation, maybe a 1-2 third back kind of down thing, that'd be good. But I would also say give Conner that break. He's been working 9 weeks basically by himself doing all of it. Do the same kind of thing that New Orleans did when Ingram came back. They made it sure that Kamara didn't do all the work. They made sure that Ingram would, you know, push and pull more of the weight.
Well, not only are you using two players to give yourself a better strategical advantage, but it helps you also lengthen their careers. So the longer together, the more impact and more presence you have over a longer period of years. So just it's really smarter that way than having just a one guy that you rely on.
Now, I want to ask you one last question about the Steelers.
All right.
How long do you think Ben Roethlisberger will make it through the rest of the season? Because that was another talk that was happening yesterday. They were saying, you know, Dobbs needs to get a lot of stuff in because, you know, Roethlisberger's only made it through 3 total seasons through every single game. How likely is he to get injured? Well, my answer to it is he looks great.
He does. I mean, after last night's performance, like you said, 22 of 25, 5 touchdowns, second most rushing yards, the longest run of the team. He looks good. I do think that the overall wear and tear is getting to the point where the sand in his timer is almost up. It's almost all the way to the bottom. I think he would be okay for the rest of this year, and maybe you get one more year out of him next year if you have the whole your running back situation is clear, whether Bell is there or not. It's going to be all resolved, and you'll know what you have. So I think you get the rest of this year and next year for one last run with Ben. But after next season, first off, he may retire after next season.
Right.
I mean, those talks have been surrounding him the last couple of offseasons, so how real you really take it is up to you. But I could see him retiring after next year. And yeah, I mean, after Dobbs' performance last night, granted the whole game when he got in there was kind of pretty much decided at that point. But if I'm Pittsburgh, I start looking for my next guy quickly, like either this draft or the next draft, find it, because I feel like within the next two or three seasons, Roethlisberger will retire from the NFL. But I think right now, I feel like you can ride him till the end.
Right.
It's not a solution or a situation where you're going to need to bring somebody in to replace him while he still wants to play. I feel like you can take Roethlisberger to the end of his career, and once he decides to hang it up, you just got to have your next guy ready. Ready to go.
Agreed.
So let's talk about some other news real quick here before we go to break. Dez Bryant, who we've talked about, he was at Cleveland's camp earlier this season looking for a job after he left Dallas. We thought he had finally – well, he did. He finally found the job. New Orleans signed him, and supposedly reports have come in that earlier today, the last play of today's practice, he tore his Achilles. Now, nothing is – I think official yet. I believe they're going to have him do another MRI before they announce anything officially. But that's not only a huge blow to Dez, but a huge blow to the Saints as well. The whole reason Bryant was being brought in was to add some more firepower and give Breeze a target that he knew. If he just wanted to throw it in the air, this is the guy that can go up and grab it. So not only do the Saints now lose a key piece to what could be a very successful run for them this season, but now what does the future hold for Dez's career?
No, it's nothing anymore.
I mean,
he didn't get picked up until the 10th week of the season.
Yeah,
that shows a lot right there. If he had gotten picked up in the beginning of the season, then something happened, then yeah. I would say, okay, maybe he'd come back. But at this point, if it's an ACL tear or whatever,
or Achilles
tear, those are hard to come back from, especially when you're 30 years old and been playing in the for
and
nine,
that's that's
ten
old
seasons.
For an NFL player. Like, once you get out of your 20s in the NFL, you're starting to push your limits of how much longer you go. I mean, quarterbacks are kind of in their own category because they're not taking as many hits every game. But, I mean, look at Brady's, 42 or whatever? But still, this could end up being a career ender for Dez, and that would be – really, for a guy that came into the NFL with such promise and has had the career that he has with Dallas, I just feel like that'd be kind of a bummer of a way to see this guy go out. Especially, I was really surprised that it took him till week 10 to get picked up by a team. I thought Cleveland was going to take him for sure, and that all fell through. But
I mean,
just hoping that obviously he can recover and maybe come back next year. And I was actually kind of hoping that Breeze would get one more shot to win a Super Bowl. And I thought Dez would really help him do that.
Honestly, they still have the ability to do it.
Yeah, they do.
They have a lot of weapons there. I mean, and their trick play, everything they do with the Saints. I should have took him last week.
It's all right, Sean. We all learn, man.
My one loss.
One loss. There you go. So it's all interesting. We'll see how it all plays out. Still a long way to go in this season. Before we head to break, we got one more giveaway for you. Sean, what is it?
We have a pair of tickets to Challenge of the Champions Bull Riding Tour at the Reno Sparks Livestock Event Center on Saturday, November 10th. That's tomorrow, guys.
Tomorrow.
So you have to be able to pick up your tickets today.
Yes.
By 5:30.
Yes.
So if you can't, don't call.
Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty
just
much
point that
that's,
out.
Yeah, it's,
as our part of our celebration of being your sports station for 50 years with Lotus Radio.
Boom. So caller 9-775-333-0945. You get those tickets. Remember, you have to be able to pick them up by 5:30 today. When we come back, we'll talk about some other headlines throughout the world of sports on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the program. Let's get into some other stuff that's happening in the world of sports here. Major League Soccer playoffs in full swing. The fifth seed Portland Timbers in the Western Conference have made it to the Western Conference Finals. So real quick, just in case you don't know how Major League Soccer playoffs work, there are four rounds set up kind of like the NFL playoffs are. Top six teams in each conference go. Top two get a first round bye. The knockout round and the final round are just a single game playoff, whereas the conference semis and conference finals are what they call two-leg sessions or two-leg formats, basically. Each team hosts a game, and the combined score at the end of it determines the winner. If both teams are tied, they would look at away goals, so who scored more goals on the road to break the tie, and if that's even, then they would go to a physical penalty shootout in the end. So there's your quick playoff lesson of the day.
I just want a shootout. That's all I want. I just want to witness a shootout. Tired of looking at YouTube for shootouts. I want a real shootout.
Well, then you should have been watching some of the playoffs already.
I know. That's what I've been saying.
It's okay. Either way, the fifth seed in the West, the Portland Timbers, make it to the Western Conference Finals after upsetting Dallas in the first round 2-1, and then upset the second seed Seattle Sounders FC 4-2 on penalty kicks to reach the Conference Finals. The other three conference semifinals look this way in the West. Top seed Kansas City and sixth seed Salt Lake are tied at 1 after the first leg in the Eastern Conference. Number 5 Columbus leads the number 1 seed New York Red Bulls 1-0 after one leg, and the second seed Atlanta United FC leads the third seed New York City FC, also 1-0 after the first leg. And the USL playoffs are in the book. Louisville City FC beats Phoenix Rising FC 1-0 to bring home the USL Cup in 2018. Some other news, some UFC news. I'm not sure if anybody out there anybody else out there caught the UFC 230 card last weekend. I certainly did, and it was a fun one. It was a real fun card. Out of the 5 main card fights, 4 of them were finished versus decisions, which is always the better way to go, because honestly, you just never know what fight the judges are watching, and so that can really ruin a fight. Benson Henderson, Donald Cerrone, one of my favorite judges scorecard steals of the UFC that I have seen. But either way, it was a middleweight eliminator basically that night on the main card. 4 out of the 5 main card fights were in the middleweight division, which is 185. And we had 3 knockouts and a unanimous decision. And the co-main event, where Renato Sousa defeated Chris Weidman by a 3rd-round KO, that was kind of a bummer if you're a Weidman fan. They were in Madison Square Garden in New York City. Weidman's a New York guy, so a bummer to get knocked down in front of his home crowd. But Sal's is just a freak, man. The guy's just an incredible athlete and a great fighter in the middleweight division. And the UFC has got another fight night coming up tomorrow night. You can catch fight night. Was it Korean Zombie versus Rodriguez?
His last name is Zombie?
It's his nickname. His actual name is Chan Sung Jung, but he goes by the Korean Zombie. That's his nickname. So I guess instead of just putting his actual name on the card, they just usually put the Korean Zombie, which honestly, if that was my nickname, I'd want that all over the place too.
Right? That's a great name.
Fear the Korean Zombie. He will go up against Yair Rodriguez. El Pantera is his nickname. I don't know exactly what that means. I hope I didn't just break an FCC rule by saying it. I don't think I did. We're just going to go with the fact that I didn't. but that is the main event. The main event in the featherweight division, which is 145-pound division. The division that Conor McGregor started his UFC career in. Of course, he is now up to lightweight, which is 155, where he got his butt kicked by
destroyed
Habib, which that pay-per-view, which I did not order live, but that pay-per-view was put onto Fight Pass. It's about a month after it happens. They'll put the event on. So I literally didn't even watch the fight. Didn't watch the event. Didn't watch the fight. Just skipped to the very end of it because I just wanted to see how the brawl was called live. And it's obviously, now that we know everybody is okay, I can kind of laugh about it because watching it, so Habib gets the choke, or not really the choke, but gets the neck crank, it's over, he starts throwing his mouthpiece. As he starts to climb over the cage, you just hear Joe Rogan going, oh no, oh no, oh no, what's he doing? And all of a sudden he dives in, everyone in the crowd's like, oh, and you hear like all three announcers just like, oh, that's not good. This is good. It's a madhouse. So it's kind of funny to listen to the guys call it because no one's really freaking out on the mic. They're all just kind of like, oh, this isn't good. This is bad. So it's kind of just like, all right, no one seems to be panicking at all, which is good. I just thought it was funny the way they called it. But either way, it should be a fun card. 4 p.m. is when the exclusive Fight Pass prelims occur. There are 2 fights there, and you have 4 prelims on Fox Sports 1 in the main card. That starts at 5, and the main card starts at 7, and you have 6 fights on the main card. So that is a heavy, loaded main card. So it should be a fun night. But that's the show, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Thank you again to head coach Jay Norvell for taking some time to talk to me this week. Good luck to the Nevada football team this weekend.
Good luck, the pride.
Yeah,
be there.
Good luck to Nevada basketball this weekend. Men playing at home tonight. Women on the road tomorrow. Just keep up that support, guys. Keep up that support. It's a fun year for Nevada sports right now. And just keep up that blue and silver support.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great weekend. Yeah. Sports all around tonight, tomorrow. We got it all.
Bundle up because it will be cold for that football game tomorrow night. But thank you very much. You can follow me on Twitter at My2Spenceworth.
Just follow me in real life. I'm everywhere now.
And we will talk to you same time, same place next week right here on ESPN Radio, folks. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. Peace. Yeah. Yeah.